Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. I want to talk today about voter fraud and specifically a book that I've been reading in the last 24 hours. It's a very interesting book. It's been around for a while. I'd heard of it, but I had never bothered to read it. And then I was able to find it actually online, the PDF of it online for free. I think you'll find it at blackbox.org. Blackbox Voting. Let me just double check what it is here. Blackboxvoting.org. Is you'll find it. I don't know anything about the politics of the woman that did the report. It really doesn't matter. Because this should not be a political issue in that, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, it shouldn't matter. But I did find her book online, and I find it very, very fascinating. Again, I don't think she's doing interviews. I've been trying to get a hold of her the last 24 hours, and I got back word from someone saying she's done. She's done doing interviews. And if she has received the treatment that Mike Lindell and many others have received, and she's been doing this for a long time, then I could absolutely see why she's, if it's true from the source that came back to me and said that she's done doing interviews, she's not doing this anymore, then I could absolutely positively see why. If you haven't read the book, again, you can go to blackboxvoting.org and you can actually find every one of the chapters of the book online as a PDF for free. And I downloaded and printed out, as those of you watching by television can see, I've printed out most of the chapters, not every chapter. I printed out mostly the ones that I found of great interest. The bottom line is what her book, and it's highly footnoted, and it's been out for years. It's been out for years. So people had plenty of time to refute what she's saying if they didn't agree with what she's saying. She actually says on her website, "Dear reader, my work is supported entirely by public donations," and she talks about that. Okay. Then she says, this book was ordered by the White House in 2004. That's interesting. That would have been when Bush was president. It was reported to have been found on Osama bin Laden's bookshelf when he was killed. It has been downloaded 500,000 times. The information in the book is heavily sourced and it has been vetted by editors from several major media outlets. Though it is old, I wrote it in 2003, the information in it still stands. If anything, elections today are even more opaque and tamper-friendly than before. And then you see off to the right, for those watching by television, there's the links to the PDFs of the book, of the chapters. And notice that the book was written in 2003. So this has been going on a long time, and I want to just share with you some of the things that she writes in this book I think you'll find interesting. In chapter 2, she writes this. And by the way, what we're going to find out is that voter fraud is apparently done as much on the right by Republicans, if you can call that right, as much by Republicans as much as by Democrats apparently. according to her research, there's a lot of shenanigans and curious things that went on with many people that were backing Republican candidates. Now, don't we see that today? We see Brad Raisenberger down in Georgia. We see Brian Kemp, Georgia. Pretty much all the states where you have the votes that stopped. They all just stopped. Remember on the night of the election, we were all sitting there watching. All of a sudden, everything just stopped. Again, it appears as though President Trump won his presidential race the first time by overcoming their algorithms. Hillary Clinton fully expected to win, according to numerous reports. According to numerous reports, this is why she came unhinged the night of the election, when she realized she had lost, because she was told it was in the bag. It was all taken care of. But Trump overran the algorithms, very much like I think Carrie Lake has overran the algorithms in Arizona. And they tried for a few days to try to figure out how they could backfill with ballots, but I guess they just couldn't get it done. Well, I believe the deep state, largely the intelligence community, was not going to let that happen again. But with the economy having roared back, so many things of a positive nature under the president Trump years, many, many people went out to vote, many of them first-time voters. Remember the Trump vote parades, the Trump car caravans? I mean, this country had never seen anything like this. And against, of course, a candidate like Joe Biden, crazy, crazy, creepy Joe Biden. I think a lot of Democrats voted for Donald Trump. And again, I think they tried to put the fix in many, many, many ways. But he seemed to overwhelm the algorithms, and so everything was put on hold in these swing states like Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, etc., right? What was that all about? And Fox News seemed to lead the way on that, didn't they? And it appeared as though what they had to do was try to find the ballots to drop in and figure out what to do with the algorithm being overrun again. So everything was halted. And then over the next few days, the ballot counting continued. And who knows what kind of computer manipulation was going on behind the scenes. But when do you ever remember an election being halted in five states like that ever? But what are they planning for 2022, 2024? I don't know if you noticed the article over at my website, worldviewreport.com, today. I have a new article up there. Here it is. U.S. Postal Service just institutionalized election interference with new mail-in ballot division. It takes you to an article on the Federalist. U.S. Postal Service just institutionalized election interference with new mail-in ballot division. Now, the reason this is of interest is not only is it a brand new article over at the Federalist, just came out, what is today, the day of the 16th? Yeah, just came out today. But it helps you understand what the Democrat Marxists are doing and what some of the Republican rhinos are doing. Why would you pass the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to clearly tax people below $400,000 a year, add 87,000 IRS agents, have pictures of them, you know, with their pictures of their requirements, which included using deadly force. Why would you pass such a piece of legislation right before an election? The 2022 November election, midterms. Why would the Marxist at the Justice Department raid the home, unprecedented in its manner, of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump? Is it because they think they're going to lose and maybe Donald Trump had a bunch of declassified information that he, as president, I understand, could indeed declassify, that was about Crossfire Hurricane, the Russia, and he has the goods. He's just waiting for the right Republicans to take charge again so he can then work with them on a real investigation and prosecution. And is it true that John Durham, the special prosecutor, is looking at some of these folks in this FBI division that actually are the ones that raided President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home? That's according to journalist Paul Sperry. That's all what we're hearing. I have no way to validate that. So are they doing this because they expect to lose and need to try to get this information away from Donald Trump? Or do they just still want it away from Donald Trump, but they have no intentions of losing, so they had no fear of the public relations problem it's created? I now see that the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, has an approval rating of just 36%. Just 36%. This guy has, overwhelmingly, the majority of Americans don't like him, don't trust him. Why would you do that weeks before a midterm election, which has only seemed to embolden Donald Trump's base? I'm reading reports he's having record fundraising. Why would the Democrats, the Marxists, do all these things? Is it because they plan on stealing the election, as we're now reading from the Federalist today? U.S. Postal Service just institutionalized election interference with new mail-in ballot division. The article says Starbucks recently asked the National Labor Relations Board to suspend all pending and ongoing votes to unionize at its U.S. stores due to concern stemming from mail-in ballots. The franchise's objections once again raise questions about the credibility of election systems that rely on mail-in ballots. As with coffee companies, how much more with the American electoral process? With hundreds of millions of dollars of campaign material and increasing numbers of ballots in the mail, postal efficacy and honesty are becoming increasingly vital to free and fair elections. Ostensibly to address some of these concerns, the U.S. Postal Service announced on July 28th it was creating the Election and Government Mail Services Division. The rationale for this new division is that the growing use of mail-in ballots requires extra attention to ensure greater volume of mailed ballots can be handled by increasingly overburdened United States Postal Service. The United States Postal Service reported delivered more than 135 million ballots in 2020, with 40 million delivered so far this year during the primaries. Among the other problems, mail-in ballots can be cast by someone other than the voter. Voter ID measures are hard to ensure. Absent in-person voting with government ID, government-issued ID, and the secret ballot is more easily compromised by professional ballot traffickers who, quote, help, end quote, the voter fill in their ballot. Thus, mail-in ballots will be an increasingly important part of the Democratic election playbook. In related news, President Joe Biden nominated three people to fill a vacancy on the nine-member United States Postal Service Board of Governors. The board determines the Postmaster General, who remains for now, Lois DeBoy. Biden's nominee include the former chief counsel for the American Postal Workers Union and the head of the National Vote at Home Institute. Really? Biden's nominee include the former chief counsel for the American Postal Workers Union and the head of the National Vote at Home Institute, a nonprofit that pushes for nationwide mail-in voting. Well, there you go. Should the voting public be concerned about the new, about the USPS paying closer attention to mail-in ballots? It depends on the trust you place in federal institutions and their employees. So apparently, again, the fix is going to be in. Now, with that as our backdrop, I want to take you to some old research that I think is still extremely relevant, as well as where did all these voting machines come from? That's one of the things that very few people have been able to answer for me. A timeline. Give me the facts. Where did these voting machines come from? How did they evolve? Have they merged? Have one bought the other? And then I found the book black box yesterday. We'll be right back after this break.
The 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. Tickets are now available, and just like last year, it will sell out this year as well. We only have seating for 1,000 people, filled up last year in 2021, and 2022 is sure to do the same. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Join us for the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. The resort is right on the water. It's all inclusive. You come there and you stay and your meals are there and you register for our conference. And we have a great lineup this year. Keynote speakers in person will include Dr. Peter McCullough, internist and cardiologist, an expert on pandemics and bioweapons. We'll have with us CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, Patrick Wood, expert on technocracy and globalism, Annie Cyrus, born in Iran and an expert on the Middle East, Dr. Lee Merritt, former military surgeon and expert on bioweapons, Dr. Andy Woods, pastor, lawyer, and also expert on Bible prophecy, Terry Turchi, former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, author and journalist, an expert on illegal immigration and the border crisis, Leo Holman, Karen Kingston, she is a bioweapons analyst. This is the incredible lineup. There's also the option of the Thursday night banquet concert, and then also the luncheon on Saturday, the WVW Foundation luncheon on Saturday. Now, these things on Thursday night and the luncheon on Saturday are optional. You don't have to attend those if you don't want to, but you can. And you can get your tickets along with your general seating or your priority seating tickets for the conference itself at WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there, WVWTVstore.com. Be sure to call the resort, use that promo code WRLD, or just say Worldview Weekend, or the code WRLD, and you will get the weekend rate when you book your room reservations at the Tantara Margaritaville Resort, right there on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks, 1,150 miles of shoreline, rolling hills of the Ozarks. It's gorgeous. So don't delay. It will sell out. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone, you can call Melissa and or text her at 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. If you prefer to order your tickets over the phone. Otherwise, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, the 19th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. So we're talking about voter fraud in a more in-depth manner today because of a new book I just discovered. Well, I've heard of it, but I never read it. Black Box Voting. And again, you can get the whole PDFs, chapter 1 through 16 for free and the footnotes at blackboxvoting.org, blackboxvoting.org. And it's written by Bev Harris. Now, before I get to that, let me go to some old footage. This is some old footage, but I think you guys will find it, again, interesting at how long. This was recorded on December 16th, 2003, December 16th, 2003. But I think it's important, again, this lady's book came out in 2004. Isn't that what she told us a while ago? Let me double check. When did she say it came out? Yep, 2003. All right, so this video is from 2003. It just shows you how long this lady was at it. She did several interviews I saw with Lou Dobbs. So Fox News was allowing Lou Dobbs to talk about voter fraud and machines a long time ago, and then apparently it became unacceptable. Okay, listen to what she says. I'll just play a few minutes just to get a tone for who she is before we read some of the stuff from her book and then take phone calls. Here, listen to this. Okay, this is press conference, Bev Harris and Andy Stephenson, Black Voting, blackboxvoting.org. Okay, that's what comes up on the screen. Here we go.
Well, I'm Bev Harris.
And I'm Andy Stephenson.
Yep, I'm the author of Black Box Voting, and Andy is the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State. I think it's very important that he's here because we started doing some investigations together. We've done them off and on throughout the writing of the book, but we started kind of seriously doing something about 2 weeks ago. And much of what we're going to be revealing here today is actually stuff that Andy uncovered, and then we worked together to develop it. It does bring, as I put in my initial teaser, it does bring concerns about our voting system to a whole new level. What we have in Washington State is this. We've got the state elections director, David Elliott, misstating when versions were certified. We have somebody at the Secretary of State's office signing off on software that doesn't have a NASED number to authorize it, which is required by state law. When we try to find out what software is actually being used, we're getting the Buffalo Shuffle. And we've got a convicted drug dealer printing our ballots and our punch cards. We also have had, for the past, up until a little under a year ago, a 23-count embezzler dealing with our voting registration base and having his hands directly in the central tabulating system that counts 800,000 votes in King County. We have documented that we're using unauthorized software, and the internal memos that we are going to provide indicate that five Diebold programmers have been uploading this, knowing they were not supposed to, in as many as 14 states.
All right, Diebold, that's one of the voting machines. That's one of the voting machine companies. So she's saying they're uploading software programming they know they're not supposed to be doing. We'll get into a little bit of the history of these machines in just a second, but let's keep going.
So, with that being said, let's pass some of these around. If you're media, grab first. And I'll take you on a guided tour through what we have here, which I really only promised you 20 pages, and I think this is longer, and we could have gone on and on.
This is a press conference. Back in 2003.
If you open it up, the first thing you'll see is this boring little chart. Let me tell you the adventure we have had to go to try to find out what software is actually authorized. Understand something. If you have software and the entire thing is proprietary and secret, and the entire premise of why this is safe is based on the fact that it goes through independent testing and certification. If instead you actually have five individual guys up in Canada sticking unauthorized programs directly into our voting machines, we've got a security breach of the first degree. This is not an isolated incident. This has been happening all over the United States for at least 6 years. What we try to do, now the way that you find out if it's certified or not is you, in most states, it has to have what's called a NASED number. It stands for the National Association of State Election Directors. And they put it through the lab, which is an independent testing authority, which gives it a number, and then they issue a number. In Washington State, you cannot use software in a voting machine unless it has a NASED number. Therefore, if we want to know if it's certified or not, we go and look and see what the NASED numbers are, the complete set, and is it on that list or not. For some reason, trying to find that list of what's certified has been unbelievable. Andy called the Election Center, which is the national body that has been trying to look up, supposedly looking over this. The director of the Election Center hung up on him when he asked for the list. I called the Secretary of State's office. They said, we'll have to have someone call you back. They never did. Linda France, who's an activist who works out of Bellingham, finally found one document by going through an obscure link in a back door on the Johnson County, Kansas website. But this was even out of date. I spent probably 4 hours searching something called the Wayback Engine, which goes and finds things that were on the web and have been taken off the web. I was able to locate three more lists, but we just haven't been able to get that list. The most recent list we had was over a year old. And so I did a breach of protocol. I was supposed to testify before the Washington Legislature, the Technology Committee. Our state elections director, David Elliott, testified right before me. I got in front of the legislative committee and turned to him and said, Mr. Elliott, we're here in Olympia. Why don't you get yourself? phone, call your office. I'll pick up those documents before we leave, because you can't certify anything unless you know what the numbers are. And David Elliott has been on the NASED board for certification for nearly a decade. Well, I got called out. You don't do that in front of the legislature. It was a breach of protocol, and he was not happy. But that and two more emails finally did pin him down to at least give me a list, which he still contends is not current. And he says he doesn't know whether or not anything else has been certified, and he'll have to call the FEC. Now, understand something. We just ran an election in September and in November on software that is not on that NASED list. We have our state elections director can't even tell us if it's certified or not. And this particular thing was one of a bunch of documents he gave me with Post-it.
All right, we're going to stop right there. So as you can see, since 2003, Bev Harris in this press conference was trying to find out if you had certified software being used on machines. Now, this is just one of many reports you'll find of her, video clips, interviews, being a dogged journalist, a research journalist, a researcher. She, again, is an author. Her book, Black Box Voting, came out in 2003. You can read it for yourself. I'm going to start reading excerpts to you here right now, but you can read it for yourself at blackboxvoting.org. You go to the top of the page, it says Black Box Voting book, and it says for free, and you can find it for free right there, top right-hand corner. Click on it. Now, let's get started so I can open up the phone lines. Let me read some of this to you. In 2002, general election, a computer miscount overturned in the, In the 2002 general election, a computer miscount overturned the House District 11 result in Wayne County, North Carolina. Incorrect programming caused machines to skip several thousand party line votes, both Republican and Democrat. Fixing the error turned up 5,500 more votes and reversed the election for state representative. Voting machine failed to tally yes vote on the 2002 school board issue in Gretna, Nebraska. This error gave the false impression that the measure had failed miserably, but it actually passed by a 2-to-1 margin. Responsibility for the errors was attributed to ES&S, the Omaha company that had provided the ballots and the machines. An Orange County, California election computer made a 100% error during the April 1998 school board referendum. The Register of Voters offices initially announced that the bond issue had lost by a wide margin. In fact, it was supported by a majority of the ballots cast. The error was attributed to a programmer's reversing the yes and no answers in the software used to count the votes. I'll give you another one. She's got a lot of them here. A computer program was specifically enhanced to speed the November 1993 Kane County, Illinois election results to a waiting public. Unfortunately, it sped the wrong data. Voting totals for a dozen Illinois races were incomplete, and in one case, they suggested that a local referendum proposal had lost when it actually had been approved. For some reason, software that had worked earlier without a glitch had waited until election night to admit 8 precincts in the tally. Now, again, she gives numerous examples, but here's another one. This one is from 1986. In 1986, the wrong candidate was declared the winner in Georgia. Incumbent Democrat Don Peavy was running for state senator in District 48. The machine said he lost the election after an investigation revealed that a Republican elections official had kept uncounted ballots in the trunk of his car. Officials also admitted that a computerized voting program had miscounted. Peavy insisted on a recount. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, quote, when the count finished around 1 a.m., they, the election board, walked into a room and shut the door. When they came out, they said, Mr. Peavy, you won, end quote. That was it. They never apologized. They never explained. That's 1986, folks. Here's another one. Akron, Ohio. It discovered its votes got scrambled in its December 1997 election. It was announced that Ed Rep had won the election. Rep actually lost. Another error in the same election resulted in incorrect totals for the Portage County school boards. Turns out the bond referendum results were wrong too. In 1998, Salt Lake City election, 1,413 votes never showed up in the total. A programming error caused a batch of ballots not to count, though they had been run through the machine like all others. When the 1,413 missing votes were counted, they reversed the election. Now, let's get to some of the history, and I could give you more examples, and she does. She writes, Bob Arusevic, who had headed three, listen to this, Bob Arusevic, who had headed three different voting machine companies under five different corporate names, said in 1990, that his company's optical scan machines had an error rate of only 0.001%. Oh, really? Look at all we just rattled off in the short period of time. Well, you know what's so interesting? Bob Arusevic was head of three different voting machine companies under five different corporate names. This is where we end up with a rat's nest and a woodpile. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we have just received a new shipment of freeze-dried food, and we have a new website where you can purchase it. It's wvwtvstore.com. That's the new website, wvwtvstore.com. Again, WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, wvwtvstore.com. It has a 25-year shelf life. All the details are there, 2,000 calories a day. Great description of exactly each entree, what you're getting. We have the 2-week plan, we have the 4-week plan, we have the 3-month plan, 6-month plan, and many of you have asked for a plan that's 1 year, a 1-year food supply. That's what I have. And many of you have asked for that. We added it. It's all available now at wvwtvstore.com. Now, I do want to tell you, on some of it, we're eating some of the cost of the shipping. In other words, we're not charging you for some of these plans what the shipping actually cost us. We're going to go ahead and eat the cost of some of the shipping. And if you want to know why shipping is expensive, well, for like the 1-year plan, that's a lot of buckets. That's a lot of weight. So again, you need to know that we're not charging you what the full price of the shipping is, because again, we're trying to be reasonable here. Look, we want to offer you this service. We appreciate your buying it from us. It's a big part of our general operating budget. We know you could buy it somewhere else, but when you buy it from us, you're also helping to support WVW Broadcast Network. Now, again, as we get into the fall, there's talk of pandemics and rolling blackouts and World War III and all the things that are going on in this world. The demand for freeze-dried food is going back up. We've actually had times and periods where the company says to us, we can't provide you with anything for right now. You're going to have to wait a few weeks. In some cases, they've even said a few months. We had to flip to another company because the company we're originally with stopped making it available to us as a distributor for months. So we have a great company we're working with. We appreciate them. We're getting shipments. But folks, when the demand kicks in, we can't guarantee you we can get it. If we can't get it, we can't offer it to you. So I would urge you to order while we can get it to you. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. All the details are there. If you prefer to order over the phone, you can call 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also text Melissa at that number and give her your name and your number and say, hey, call me when you can. She's swamped, folks. So be patient with her. She's absolutely swamped. But you can text her at 901-825-0652 or call her. Better to text her if you can, and then she'll call you as soon as she's able to. 901-825-0652. Otherwise, place your order at wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com, while we have it and while we can ship it to you. Thank you.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Now, this again, as I said before the break, is where we end up with a rat's nest in a woodpile. It gets really, really hard to figure out who is who and what is what and what gave birth to what. As I said before the break, Bob Yurisovic was the head of three different voting machine companies under five different corporate names. She goes on to write in the book, Black Box Voting, at the time, Yurisovic was with ES&S, but that was then called American Information Systems. See, they've changed their names so many times, it's really hard for people to keep up. He was the head of what was then called American Information Systems. Recently, the same Yurisovic, now president of Diebold Election Systems, there you go, Diebold, formerly called Global Election Systems, gave an even more glowing endorsement of his company's touchscreen accuracy. So again, the point I'm making, all these machine companies, their names are changing, companies are buying up companies. In fact, it's reported that in 2009, September of 2009, Diebold sold its election software to ES&S. So are a lot of them using the same software, the same code? Now, this story is one that some of you might want to call in about. And this is where we start realizing that in a lot of cases, it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, because they're all apparently involved in the scam, many of them. Many of them. How many of you remember Chuck Hagel of Nebraska? So-called Republican Chuck Hagel. Didn't he go on to become the Secretary of Defense for Barack Hussein Obama? Democrat U.S. Senator becomes Secretary of Defense for Barack Hussein Obama, the Democrat. So again, why is it that it's so easy for all these guys to get along? Well, really, we're really talking about here is really one party. That's exactly what Carroll Quigley said in his book, Tragedy and Hope, in 1966. It doesn't matter if the public throws the bums out. They've so infiltrated the globalists, both parties, that their agenda will not be interrupted, which is one reason why they can all get along so well. This is why Mitch McConnell gets along so well with Nancy Pelosi and vice versa. But Bev Harris writes, when Chuck Hagel accepted his position as chairman of American Information Systems, wait a minute, American Information Systems, what did we just learn was the name of that company, American Information Systems? It ends up becoming what? ES&S. But when Hagel accepted his position as chairman of American Information Systems, he offered a rousing endorsement, quote, the AIS system is 99.9% accurate, end quote. Now, according to the Wall Street Journal, in the 2000 general election, an optical scan machine in Almaquy County, Iowa, was fed 300 ballots and reported 4 million votes. The county auditor tried the machine again but got the same result. Eventually, the machine's manufacturer, ES&S, agreed to have replacement equipment sent. We don't have 4 million voters in the state of Iowa, said Bill Roy Jr., county auditor. November 2003, officials from Boone County, Indiana, wanted to know why their microvote machines counted 144,000 votes cast when only 5,352 existed. Quote, I about had a heart attack, said County Clerk Lisa Garofalo, according to Indianapolis Star. Quote, believe me, there was nobody more shook up than I was, end quote. So we just found out that the businessman in Nebraska, Chuck Hagel, is tied to what we knew now or know now as ES&S. How many of you knew that? And he went on to become a member of the U.S. Senate. How did he win that race? We'll get there in just a second. She writes on page 9, Tom Eschberger became a vice president of ES&S not long after he accepted an immunity deal for cooperating with prosecutors in a case against Arkansas Secretary of State Bill McEwen, who pleaded guilty to taking kickbacks and bribes in a scheme related to computerized voting systems. Wait a minute. What kind of characters are in charge of these voting machine companies? That's interesting. She writes, and I would imagine by now if this wasn't true, she'd have been sued and this would have been down off the internet. Tom Eichberger became a vice president of ES&S not long after he accepted an immunity deal for cooperating with a case in Arkansas that involved the Secretary of State Bill McEwen, who pleaded guilty to taking kickbacks and bribes in a scheme related to computerized voting systems. How have these machines been used overseas, and by who? She writes in another page. Caracas, Venezuela. In May 2000, Venezuela's highest court suspended elections because of problems with the tabulation for the national election. Venezuela sent an Air Force jet to Omaha to fetch experts from ES&S in a last-ditch effort to fix the problem. Dozens of protesters chanted, "Gringos, get out," at ES&S technicians. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez accused ES&S of trying to destabilize the country's electoral process. Chavez asked for help from the U.S. government because he said the U.S. government had recommended ES&S. So here's my question. Were they going to use the voting machines for a color revolution in Venezuela to deal with Hugo Chavez? Has this game been practiced before by the intelligence community for voter fraud or theft or flipping of candidates in other countries by our intelligence agencies in America? And did, after years of practice, did they do it here in America? Well, let's go to the information about Chuck Hagel. I'm going to skip over a couple chapters here. This is a very interesting story. Bev Harris writes, "He stunned them with his upsets. Nebraska Republican Chuck Hagel came from behind twice during his run for the U.S. Senate in 1996. Hagel, a clean-cut, crinkly-eyed, earnest-looking millionaire, had achieved an upset win in the primary against Republican Attorney General Don Steinberg, despite the fact he was not well known. According to CNN's All Politics, Hagel hoped he could make lightning strike twice, and he did. Hagel then defeated popular Democrat governor Ben Nelson, who had led in the polls since the opening gun. The Washington Post called Hagel's 1996 win, quote, the major Republican upset in the November election, end quote. Hagel swept all three congressional districts, became the first Republican to win a U.S. Senate seat in Nebraska in 24 years. He won counties up and down the politically diverse Platte River Valley and topped it off with victories in Omaha and Lincoln, so reported the Hastings Tribune. What the media didn't report is that Hagel's job until 2 weeks before he announced his run for the Senate was running the voting machine company whose machines would count his votes. Chuck Hagel had been chairman of the American Information Systems, now called ES&S, since July 1992. He also took the position of CEO when co-founder Bob Yurcevic left in November of 93. While Hagel was running AIS, which became known as ES&S, the company was building and programming the machines that would later count his votes. Interesting, right, folks? But these machines are safe. There's no history of voter fraud. These are conspiracy theories. These have been debunked. 6 years later, when asked about his ownership in ES&S by Lincoln's Channel 8 TV News, Hagel said he had sold that stock. Well, Bev Harris says, in October of 2002, I discovered that he still had undisclosed ownership of ES&S through its parent company, the McCarthy Group. The McCarthy Group is run by Hagel's, wait for it, the McCarthy Group is run by Hagel's campaign finance director, Michael R. McCarthy, who is also a director of ES&S, the voting machine company, folks. Hagel hid his ties to ESNS by calling his investment of up to $5 million in the ESNS parent company and, quote, accepted investment fund, end quote. In January of 2003, Hagel's campaign finance director, Michael McCarthy, admitted that Hagel had ownership ties to ESNS. When the story is finally told, Hagel's staff tried to claim there was no conflict of interest. Wow. How many of you knew that story? And by the way, if you try searching that online, you get a lot of websites popping up trying to tell you that it's not true. I even found some articles that had been written about it that now are off the internet. You can find them in a search engine, but when you get to the website, they're gone. Apparently, they've tried to bury this story. Now, where did these machines all come from? Well, let's get started before we go to the phone lines. I'll give out the number in a minute. Business Records Corp. Business Records Corp, or BRC. BRC stands for Business Records Corp. Was a subsidiary of a Dallas, Texas company named Coronis Industries, Inc., which was owned by a consortium of wealthy Texas power brokers. Well, in July of 1984, we're all the way back in 1984, it was acquired, BRC acquired Data Management Associates of Colorado Springs, a closely held concern that supplied county governments with computer software and services, that acquired David G. Kearney Company, a closely held San Antonio firm that marked records-keeping services. Then it purchased the assets of C. Edwin Holtman Company, a closely held Pittsburgh company that provided county government information services. So that was July of 84. November of 84, BRC, this company out of Texas, acquired Western Data Services, Inc., a firm that provided online computer services to several hundred county and municipal governments, school districts, and other government agencies in Texas. November of 84, BRC acquired Contract Microfilm Services and Business Images. February of 85, BRC acquired Roberts & Sons, Inc., of Birmingham, Alabama, a firm which provided voting equipment and election materials to county governments. April of 85, BRC acquired Frank Thornburg Company, a Chicago firm specializing in election-related services, equipment, and supplies. November of 85, BRC acquired Dayton Legal Blank Company. December 85, Coronis Industries, Inc., the parent company of BRC, completed the purchase of Computer Election Systems, Inc. of Berkeley, California. At that time, Computer Election Systems was the nation's largest manufacturer of election machines and related equipment. It provided election computer programs and equipment to more than 1,000 county and municipal jurisdictions. January of 86, BRS acquired Integrated Microsystems, Inc. of Rockford, Illinois. March of 86, BRC merged with Computer Concepts and Services, Inc. of St. Cloud, Minnesota. During the same month, it acquired Sunbelt Press, Inc. of Birmingham, Alabama, and merged it into Roberts & Sons, one of the election and voting equipment companies acquired by BRC in February of 85. It also bought the government operations of Minneapolis-based Miller Davis Company. The government portion of Miller Davis provided legal forms, election supplies, and office supplies to local governments in Minnesota. And it keeps going and going. And then we end up with a company out of Omaha, Nebraska. We'll get to that and take your calls.
In March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency, combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off. Turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we who are patriotic conservative Christians have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet, that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorist. We now know that the World Economic Forum, openly in their own documents, is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about, and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information that's no obligation is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge?
All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. So we started out with this company, BRC, Business Records Corp, out of Dallas. Wealthy, reported owned by a consortium of wealthy Texas power brokers. And we tracked from 84 all the way up to right now. 84 all the way to where we are now in this book. Business Records Corp dominated U.S. elections until 1997, when it was purchased by, wait for it, ES&S, Election Systems and Software. Founded in Omaha, Nebraska, under the name DataMark Systems by brothers Todd and Bob Yurcevic, the company soon changed its name to American Information Systems. In 84, they obtained financing from another group of people, and it goes through a long list of all these people that were helping to finance this thing. Now, what's very interesting is, listen to this. In 97, the company that had called itself American Information Systems bought election industry giant BRC and changed its name to Election Systems Software. The Securities and Exchange Company, the Security and Exchange Commission, objected on antitrust grounds, and an odd little deal was cooked up in which the assets of BRC, the company we started tracking back in 84 in this timeline, were shared between two voting companies, ES&S and Sequoia. Now, you see, my friends, why it's so hard to keep track of this, because we also are told that Diebold sold its software to ES&S in 2009 for $5 million. Now, well, let me just briefly mention. She's got some very interesting information here about the George W. Bush people. By now, Diebold Inc., the owner of what is now arguably the largest voting machine company in the U.S. at the time she was writing, has become famous for its vested interest in an idiotic written statement by its CEO. Diebold director W.H. Timken has raised over $100,000 for the 2004 campaign of George W. Bush, earning the designation of Pioneer. Bush supporters qualify as pioneers if they raise at least $100,000, and Rangers if they raise $200,000. On June 30th, 2003, Diebold CEO Walter O'Dell organized a fundraising party for Vice President Dick Cheney, raising $600,000, and that raised a lot of antennas. They go on to talk about the connection between some of these characters, as I just did, and the Bush, George W. Bush. Isn't this interesting? So maybe these funny things have been going on for a long time and involving both parties, because at the end of the day, they're really one party. And if you challenge them, then, well, now we're told by this corrupt Justice Department, if you doubt, there was actually a DHS bulletin put out. It's in my movie, Brainwashed America Part 2. I was editing on it over the weekend. If you now question, if you question the election, you might be a domestic terrorist. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. You guys are going to have to tell me if I got callers, because for some reason my call screener is not working today. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling in today, Terry.
Hey, Brandon. Brandon, we love you for bringing this for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Calling from Omaha, I just want to say that after January 6th, I started doing my own little online research.
Yes.
And found that Chuck Hagel, being the former Secretary of Defense, et cetera, quit in 2015. Now, who does that? And came back to Nebraska to be president of the McCarthy Group. That was on Wikipedia.
Oh,
that was wiped.
Looky
was
there.
Wiped shortly
looky,
after looky January
there.
6th.
Yeah. Looky there. Well, isn't that interesting? There's a lot of this data out there. Let's see. When Diebold, with his machines in 37 states, left his voting system out on the web for 6 years, free for the hacking, not a single editor from the Wall Street Journal or USA Today or Newsweek magazine bothered to assign anyone to look at the files so they could form an opinion as to the importance of this security gaffe. Let's go back to the phone lines, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to Mike in Florida. Mike, thanks for calling in, Mike. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Brandon. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've seen the same kind of thing happen in my industry. I'm in my early 60s, and, you know, I'm a Christian, and I pray. You know, it's like, Lord, why am I here in this time? And one of my answers for people our age, the early 60s, and I went into engineering, and I learned computers at an early age. And I've written some software, not fancy stuff, but for engineering stuff. But what you basically just described is that the digital world really got ahead of most everybody else. And then a few bad apples, it looks like, took advantage of that. And a couple of ways to deal with that is, one, you got to get the truth out, which you're trying to do. But I think you guys are just slighting too much evil in mainstream media, can't get your word out. And then the second thing is really just to have smart people put requirements on these systems to prove that they're safe. And probably one of those requirements needs to be the source code has to be open for people
yeah.
government to look at.
And I think at this point, for there to be confidence returned to our voting system, it has to be all paper. I think it has to be all paper. I think there has to be cameras all around. That can be your auditing system. The votes are counted right there each night in each precinct, at each tally, at each voting place, all done on camera. Everything is secure. You go back, you do your audit through the cameras. This is what Mike Liddell and many others are saying. You know what's very interesting? You mentioned, though, Mike, the media. Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1799, "Our citizens may be deceived for a while, and have been deceived, but as long as the press can be protected, we may trust them for light." In other words, Thomas Jefferson said, the public can be deceived, but if we have a free and fair and independent press, the press can return the light to the people and bring them out of the darkness of their deception. What's the problem today? The press have been bought off. Much of the press today, I think, is infiltrated by our intelligence arena. And frankly, I believe many of these voting machine companies are greatly manipulated, if not controlled, by the intelligence community. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of WorldviewWeekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110-plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com. And use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.